Join the conversation on CFRA Live with Andrew Pinsent. Text 580-580 right now.
908, keep those texts coming, as always. 580-580, tweet us at CFRA Ottawa. We'll get to those throughout the rest of the show. Also, coming up, we'll talk with Michael Geiss at the University of Ottawa, Canada, research chair when it comes to internet and e-commerce law, chatting about this latest Rogers and Shaw deal that was given the green light on Friday, a $26 billion takeover by Rogers of Shaw. Experts panning this as, you know, a lack of competition within the industry. Is this going to hurt, help, hinder? Do the minister's promises of accountability for these big companies, do they hold any water? We'll talk about that coming up. First, though, we'll reset here with what you need to know for this Saturday, April the 1st, here on News Talk 580 CFRA. This is CFRA Live. Authorities in the Mohawk Territory of Akwesasne say their community is often exploited by human trafficking networks. This is two more bodies, totaling eight migrants, including two children, were pulled from the St. Lawrence River this week. Police say they were members of two families of Romanian and Indian descent attempting to cross into the U.S. Abram Benedict is the Grand Chief for the Mohawk Council of Akwesasne. He says it's a difficult time for the community.
Let's not forget that the first responders, the police services, the fire services are our people out there, and having to, unfortunately, pull out eight bodies, including two children, out of the water. It's been very traumatic for us, and we're grieving as well.
Benedict says he will continue to lobby the Canadian and U.S. governments to provide resources to make their community safe and ensure such incidents will not happen again. 20-year-old Ottawa woman has been charged with aggravated sexual assault after allegedly assaulting a male. Police say the complainant and suspect met in the downtown area on January 5th, went to the man's home. No further details released, but under the criminal code, aggravated sexual assault is when someone wounds, maims, disfigures, or endangers the life of a complainant. Parts of Ontario and Quebec remain under various weather warnings as a winter storm continues to deliver a mixed bag of conditions. Across northeastern Ontario, winter storm warnings are in place, with some areas expected to see up to 15 centimeters of snow, while areas to the south and east are covered by rainfall and freezing rain warnings. In Quebec, many regions covered by snowfall warnings, while areas near the mouth of the St. Lawrence are under wind warnings as well. Gusts could get up to 90 kilometers an hour today. Here in Ottawa, some rain expected throughout the day, but the high, 13 degrees for this mild April the 1st. Meantime, south of the border, ongoing search and rescue efforts continue after tornadoes ravaged parts of the U.S. South and Midwest overnight. ABC's Victor Ocando is in Wynn, Arkansas, where officials report two deaths along with destroyed homes and people trapped within the debris.
Wynn is a small town of just over 8,000 people. The mayor saying that this community has been devastated. This is just one of several towns across multiple states left reeling this morning.
Another person killed in Illinois, more than two dozen injured at a concert in Illinois as well. There have been 53 reports of tornadoes so far this weekend in the U.S. South and Midwest. Federal Industry Minister Francois-Philippe Champagne has given the green light to Rogers Communications' $26 billion takeover of Shaw Communications, the approval drawing some criticism from those like Dwayne Wincek, a Carleton University communications professor. He says it reduces competition in the sector.
This, to me, makes the minister look like the handmaiden of capitalism as opposed to a democratic government watching out for public interest and promoting developments consistent with trying to secure as much competition in these markets as possible.
Now, the minister says the deal is subject to 21 legally enforceable commitments aimed at bolstering competition and driving down prices. Meantime, some policy experts in healthcare are concerned that the federal government may have lost the political will to take some bold steps towards a national pharmacare program. This comes as Health Minister Jean-Yves Duclos says that the government's plan for pharmacare is moving forward. Carleton University health policy professor Marc-André Gagnon says that while he was hopeful there'd be money in this week's federal budget to advance that pharmacare plan, he was not surprised there was no mention of it at all. Simon Fraser, health policy adjunct professor Stephen Lewis, says it would require a lot of money to put pharmacare back on the table, which seems unlikely given the size of the current federal deficit. Ontario's minimum wage set to go up to $16.55 an hour. That's starting on October the 1st. Marks a 6.8% boost from the current rate of $15.50 an hour. It's also tied to inflation. Increase means someone making minimum wage and working 40 hours per week would see their pay increase nearly $2,200 per year. That's according to the province. Labor Minister Marty McNaughton says it will go a long way to helping people with the cost of living. Carleton University and the union representing education workers are returning to the bargaining table this weekend. That news coming last night. Two sides still trying to work out a deal as the clock continues to work to tick down, I should say, on the winter semester. The school says the two sides have agreed to return to the table. They've mutually agreed to work with a neutral third-party mediator. About 3,000 graduate and undergraduate teaching assistants and contract instructors at the university began a strike action on Monday. Chaudière Bridge now closed to motorists for the next 3 months because of ongoing construction work. Public Services and Procurement Canada saying that the bridge that connects Ottawa and Gatineau will be closed to vehicles until July the 6th. Allows construction crews to carry out rehabilitation work and widening projects. Divisive internet personality Andrew Tate has won an appeal to replace his detention in a Romanian jail with house arrest. The 36-year-old British-U.S. citizen, initially detained back in December in Romania's capital along with his brother and two Romanian women. Outside the detention facility, Tate telling supporters that he is innocent.
God bless you, Andrew.
I just want to say that the judges today made the right decision. I respect what they've done for me, and they made their decision because I'm an innocent man, and I can't wait to prove it.
Former professional kickboxer known for spouting his misogynist views online has spent months in jail on suspicion of organized crime and human trafficking. Not quite a miracle, but Pope Francis has been discharged from the Rome hospital where he was treated for bronchitis. The pontiff appearing this morning to be in good spirits on his way out, telling reporters he's still alive. 86-year-old Francis hospitalized on Wednesday with bronchitis. Vatican had said that Francis will be in St. Peter's Square for Palm Sunday Mass to mark the start of Holy Week, which of course culminates on Easter coming up on April the 9th. Big surprise in store this morning for someone in the prairies. One winning ticket drawn for last night's Lotto Max jackpot worth $60 million. One winning ticket on that $60 million jackpot. Here in Ontario, though, still check your tickets. There's also one max million-dollar winner somewhere. There is one winning ticket for $1 million prize out there in Ontario somewhere this morning. Jackpot for the next draw coming up on April 4th, now that the big one has gone. This one on Tuesday will be worth roughly $15 million. And Canadian singer Amanda Marshall charting her return to music after two decades away from the scene. The Let It Rain performer says that she's frequently fielded questions from fans who wondered where she went after the release of her most recent album back in 2001.
The question that I get a lot is, you know, what happened? What happened? Where'd you go? What happened? Why did you stop? Are you going to make another record? And it really wouldn't matter where I was, whether I was on a plane or whether I was in a restaurant. The curiosity factor, I think, builds over time. I assumed that at some point that would go away. It didn't seem to go away through the years.
Marshall says a combination of management and record label issues led to years off, though she's back on her feet with a summer concert tour planned, as well as her new single, I Hope She Cheats. 9:16, that's what you need to know for this Saturday, April the 1st. We'll take a quick break here on CFRA Live. When we come back, chat a little bit more about that Shaw-Rogers deal. What does that mean for competition in the market, among other things? Lots to get to between now and 11 o'clock. This is CFRA Live.
Take us with you on your Apple CarPlay or Android Auto through your iHeartRadio app. It's CFRA Live with Andrew Pinsent on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
9:21, welcome back. This is CFRA Live. Thanks so much for joining us. Federal Industry Minister, Francois-Philippe Champagne, given the green light to Rogers Communications' $26 billion takeover of Shaw Communications. The approval, of course, drawing some criticism from those who are saying that it reduces competition in the sector. What does this mean for the sector, the telecommunications sector? Joining us to chat about that this morning is Michael Geist. He's the Canada Research Chair in Internet and E-Commerce Law at the University of Ottawa. Michael, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
When we see, you know, I'm hearing the industry minister saying, you know, We promise we're going to hold feet to the fire. Billions in fines are possible if we don't follow the rules here. Does this argument hold any weight for you in terms of holding these big companies accountable?
No, because the minister had a chance to actually not do more than just talk tough. He had a chance to act tough on these issues just now, and he didn't do it. He blinked. And I think the notion that somehow this increases competition, it's tough to increase competition when you're reducing the number of competitors. At the end of the day, what we've seen is a reduction, obviously, of competitors based on the merger. We've also seen a disappearance of many of the smaller independent providers in the run-up to this deal. So if you look at where Canada was at a few years ago and you look at where we're at now, things are getting worse. We have fewer competitors in the marketplace. Our prices may be dropping a bit, but dropping at a far lower rate, slower rate than what you find elsewhere around the world. And so Canadians continue to pay some of the highest prices anywhere.
And I guess when we're looking at this through this lens as well, we've also seen, you know, recent acquisitions, Sunwing and WestJet, right? So that competition and industry getting a little bit smaller as well. When we have the CRTC and the Competition Bureau in cases like this, giving this green light, I guess, how can one have confidence that they, you know, that they are actually working in the interest of Canadians when it appears that, you know, competition appears to be stifled by this, but still getting a green light from the Competition Bureau?
Right. Well, actually, the Competition Bureau did not give this the green light. They wanted to see this stopped. And it was the Competition Tribunal that reviewed that decision that ultimately overruled them. So actually, the Bureau stood with consumers in this case and expressed concern. It's unfortunate that the industry minister didn't choose to do the same. We had a parliamentary committee that looked at it and also said that they didn't think that this was where we ought to move forward with. But you're right to highlight some of the concerns associated with competition law in Canada. And government is saying that they're reviewing those laws. But at its heart, we've seen way too many of these kinds of mergers take place in Canada. And I think if you look at this in other jurisdictions, you look at other countries around the world, they take a much tougher approach. They actually do really consider what are the implications here? How are consumers and the competition in the marketplace going to be affected? And they are not nearly as reticent to stop a merger if they don't think it's in the public interest.
You know, we look south of the border to see the competition. I know it's a much bigger population, but we see, you know, competition very vibrant in many markets. We're talking about groceries. We see lots of competition there, television, cell phones, same kind of thing. So I guess, is there a considerable difference between some of the competition aspects of the U.S. and here in Canada?
Well, there are some differences in the law, but I think there's also just a difference in attitude more broadly. I mean, Canada has often operated with a protected market in many of these sectors. You mentioned airlines, and there's protections there. We look at broadcast, and there's protection there. We can look at telecom, and there were long protections there. And so what you're left with when you limit the ability of sometimes bigger, tougher foreign competition to enter into the marketplace is an uncompetitive market. I don't think it's much of a surprise that if you walled off, in effect, for many, many years, the development of an entire industry, the wireless industry, and essentially it was only limited to Canadians, well, of course it's going to be an industry now dominated by the big three in Canada, and the government's going to argue there's going to be a fourth here, but where the reality is that big three still really dominate, and that we've seen, in fact, a reduction in some of the role that the independents have played over the last number of years.
Well, and from my understanding, this on cell phones specifically, even those new entrants in the market, they do have to somewhat rent some of their bandwidth from the big three, no?
Well, some of them do have their own wireless, and in fact, that would be the case with Videotron. The government did have an opportunity. It's a good point. The government did have an opportunity to move ahead with something known as MVNOs, Mobile Virtual Network Operators, which is a process that actually would allow some of these independents to purchase at a wholesale rate some of the existing wireless spectrum from the other players, essentially get on the on-ramp and then try to compete that way. But when this went before the CRTC, they weren't all that supportive, so they limited it to the number of players that could actually do that. And so we don't have nearly as robust a secondary market, in effect, an MVNO market in Canada, and it comes out in the kind of competition that that consumers enjoy.
It's fascinating. And just as a consumer, I guess, you know, what choice do you have as a consumer other than to just, you know, pay the higher bill that Rogers is giving you, or Shaw or Bell or what have you is giving you?
Well, listen, I think consumers should always take it upon themselves to try to negotiate because there oftentimes is room. Those advertised rates sometimes can come down if you push back. But the idea that you've got to actually push and push and push to try to get a deal that in other countries would still be seen as expensive tells us really where we are right now in Canada.
Definitely a fair point. Michael, thank you so much for your time this morning. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Michael Geist, a law professor at the University of Ottawa, Canada, research chair in internet and e-commerce law. Just some very interesting analysis on this takeover here. Shaw's communications being taken over by Rogers. $26 billion takeover. As I mentioned, I should correct myself. Said the Competition Bureau had given it a green light, but they had not. A tribunal kind of pushing that forward as well, as Mr. Geist rightfully points out, but the idea that the Competition Bureau is overruled while trying to stick up for Canadian consumers as well. It's a little bit difficult for people to swallow, and you can understand when you're looking at your cell phone bill continuing to go up and up that there's no more competition coming. Those aren't going down anytime soon. One of the things that drives you crazy, looking at that cell phone bill. The other aspect of this, I guess, as well, is this idea that, you know, that there is any kind of, I guess, anything that the consumer can do about it. Just asking Michael on that aspect, too. You know, you can fight your way personally with Rogers, Shaw, Bell, what have you, but how much is that going to save you? I will say, some of the best deals I've got with phone companies have been threatening to leave. And that's bizarre, right? But we do pay some of the highest in the developed world, some of the highest cell phone fees. 928, your thoughts, welcome. 580-580, tweet us at CFRA Ottawa. Just a couple of texts because we were chatting about Trump's indictment coming up on Tuesday. It turned into an entire circus, of course. Nicolay Lorigianellis is possibly the first president to be pepper sprayed. We were chatting about that on our political panel. Because it's a real circus, the media showing their glee over the Trump arrest. I don't know how much glee, I don't speak for every pundit out there, right? I'm sure there's some that are expressing glee in Trump's arrest. I'm just kind of more fascinated by this circus, right? You're going to have two groups that are more entrenched in their sides, right? The Democrats and the Republicans here. No doubt there is an argument to be made that the rule of law should be followed. There's that aspect too. But yeah, this is just becoming a circus. And the media kind of on that aspect covering it, right? Kind of have no choice, just kind of unprecedented. But it'll be interesting to see what happens the last few days, right? There's calls initially, Trump calling for protests, reiterating some January 6th rhetoric, but he seemed to have backed off that. Mike Pence trying to calm Trump supporters down as well. So hopefully it just turns into more of a circus we can watch, right? Because that January 6th insurrection on the Capitol, very difficult to watch from afar, and we don't need, I don't think the U.S., and I don't think we need that again. 929, take a quick break here. CFRA Live coming up after the break. Talk a little bit to Mike Woods, a local Ottawa man. You know him as a council member, local business advocate, but apparently someone tried to sell his home on Kijiji. We'll talk about that coming up when we come back. This is CFRA Live.
On the go? Take News Talk 580 CFRA Ottawa with you. Download, listen, and learn through the iHeartRadio app. Now back to CFRA Live with Andrew Pinsent.
9:37, welcome back. This is CFRA Live. It's no April Fool's joke for a local business advocate and former council candidate, Michael Wood. In the middle of a real estate scam, someone trying to sell out or rent out the house that he owns. Joining us to talk about that this morning is Michael Wood. Mike, I'm sorry that you're dealing with this right now. That's brutal.
Good morning, Andrew. I'll tell you, every day of my life, something new pops up, and it just makes me wonder sometimes what I must have done in a past life.
Well, hearing you say that, I remember you had your basement flood a little while ago as well. So, yeah, just at the top of the list, I do apologize. This is why we're talking, but I guess, how did you discover that someone was trying to rent out your house?
Well, yesterday I'm sitting at my dining room table. I'm also a college professor at Algonquin, and I was marking some papers, and my doorbell rings. Wasn't expecting anybody to come to my house. So I go to the door. Through the door, I can see there's a gentleman standing outside. I thought he was a door-to-door salesperson, right? And I open the door. I ask him how I can help him. And he said, I'm here to look at your house. Apparently, it's for rent. and I was quite surprised by that. I am going through a family law scenario, so the house is listed for sale, but it's not listed for rent. And the gentleman had an email from somebody saying that they were renting my house.
That's terrifying in many senses. I guess, how do you react to that? I'm imagining you follow up with the email.
Well, you know, what ended up happening was in the email, obviously it had my home address because he showed up to my house. He said that his wife had gone on Kijiji and had posted saying that they were looking for a place to rent. And this prompted the scammer, for lack of a better term, to send an email saying that they were missionaries. They'd gone to the United States. The house was vacant. And that you could drive by my house, but don't look in the windows because the neighbors are vigilant and they will call the police thinking that you're trying to break in.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, they have to say this because if I caught somebody peeking in my windows, it'd be odd. It'd be a quick call to 911.
Yeah, but giving some cover in that sense.
Well, you know, the thing is you know, that's the problem is that there's so many scams right now, Andrew. I'm just not sure, like, what's the next step should be, you know?
Oh, yeah. I can't even imagine. And where do you turn at that point as well? I'm imagining even for that person, right, that's trying to rent someplace, I'm glad they were able to kind of keep their money on that aspect. What did you tell them? What can you tell them?
Well, here's the thing is that they wanted $1,600 a month, everything included, for the single-family home for rent. We know that those numbers are not what the market is charging right now.
Yeah.
The scammer had taken all the photos of my home off of MLS.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, when they looked at it, I told the gentleman, I said, listen, my house is not for rent. Hopefully you didn't, you know, give any money. He's saying that the gentleman told me that he was fraud and identity theft at one of the major banks. So they did respond saying, yes, we'd like to do something. And so when they sent the application, I'm using air quotes here. Obviously, it's radio. We can't see the air quotes. But when they sent the application, it asked for their SIN number. It asked for credit card, all of it. And so that's when he decided just to pass by. He saw, you know, a car in the laneway and realized, he said, okay, something's weird here. And so he just canceled it. But he wanted to come by and he rang the bell just to let me know.
Oh my God, lucky on that aspect. I guess moving forward from this, it's good to remind people of just the dangers out there, because you say there are so many kind of real estate scams moving around right now. I guess as someone who has their home up in the market, is this something you're kind of diligent about as well?
Well, you know, I do have a real estate agent who, you know, I've worked with before, and so I trust everything that he brings to the table. I think that we've seen things in Toronto. You know, when I was speaking with Mitch, you know, we're talking about, you know, some of the scams in Toronto that we're seeing.
Oh,
I think people just have to be vigilant 100%. I'm just glad that I was home when this person showed up, so I could at least explain to them that, no, the house is definitely not for rent, but we do need to be vigilant.
Yeah, saving another victim on that aspect. It's a good point. I forgot about those homes being sold out from under people in Toronto as well. So this is just a very difficult area. But Michael, thank you for sharing your story this morning and getting that word out there. I really appreciate it.
Hey, no worries, Andrew. You have a great day, okay?
Yeah, you too. That's Michael Wood, local business advocate. As you know, we talk with many a time at the station as well, friend of CFRA. But finding out that his house up for rent on Kijiji, even though it's not for rent. So very difficult situation out there. Again, reminding people to always double check, vet everything. If something's too good to be true, it probably is. Remember that, right? He's saying is it at least a two-bedroom home in the West End, you know, being rented out for $1,600 a month, all-inclusive? That doesn't make sense. Make sure you're asking questions and being studious out there with what's in the market. I'm glad that this person was able to avoid being scammed, but to Mike's point, there is a lot of real estate scams and just scams in general out there, so be careful. Maybe a rough segue into April Fool's Day jokes, into being careful about being scammed. But it is April Fool's Day. Let us know. What you've been hearing so far this morning, has anybody got you good this morning? I wanted to go to a couple of local ones that we have seen so far this morning. One, the city of Ottawa has been trying to fool you into letting you know that we've amalgamated with the city of Winnipeg. The city of Ottawa moving that up this morning. So that's one that's going around this morning. What else? Oh, the Ryan Reynolds has bought the Bytown Museum. The Bytown Museum tweeting that out this morning as well. April Fools. Remember, you've only got 2 hours left. OC Transpo announcing that they're excited to announce the pre-sale of their ugly holiday sweater. Pre-order yours today. You can add up online with some photos as well. So lots of people locally also having some fun with this as well. And Riley Brockington, River Ward Councillor, added early this morning saying that the Food and Agricultural Museum will now add an hippopotamus to its animal barn later this month. You're being asked to bring heads of cabbage as a gift. 9:43. Has anybody got you with anything good this morning? Let us know. 580-580. Tweet us at CFRA Ottawa as well. Still to come on the show, very special guest coming up after 10 o'clock this morning. She is Meredith Moon, multi-instrumentalist and songwriter. She's playing at Irene's Pub coming up on April 9th. It's her new album, Constellations, is coming out. You may know her as the daughter of Gordon Lightfoot as well. So with her own music career performing here in Ottawa, we'll talk about that coming up next hour as well. Lots still to get to between now and 11 o'clock, including your texts. We'll have more on that whirlwind Ryan Reynolds visit to Ottawa this week as well. Lots coming up between now and 11 o'clock. This is CFRA Live on News Talk 580 CFRA.
They shot a movie once in my hometown. Everybody was in it for miles around. Out at the speedway, some kind of this thing. Well, I ain't no movie star, but I can get behind anything. Yeah, I can get behind anything.
Earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool. Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall.
We built the pyramids.
Math, science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with a big bang.
And welcome back to CFRA Live. It is time for the Science Wire with Dr. Rob Thacker at St. Mary's University in Halifax, taking a look at what's making news this week in the science world. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Andy. Good to chat again.
Always good to chat, and I know you'd be happy to chat about space this week. It's where we're heading first. A huge gamma ray burst, one of the brightest ever observed, kind of raising some questions for scientists here. So what has exactly happened with this gamma ray, and why are scientists so...
Interested?
Interested. Yeah, that's a good word.
Yeah, sure. So gamma ray bursts have been a phenomenon. These gamma rays are part of the same, what we call electromagnetic spectrum. That includes light, that includes radio waves, X-rays, and things like that. Gamma rays are the thing that's beyond X-rays. They're incredibly powerful and associated with the most energetic things that we know of in the universe. And really, when you talk about that kind of thing, you're inevitably talking about black holes. And so there are many, many different measurements of these bursts over the past few years and so on. But the key thing is trying to understand precisely what they correspond to, because black holes come in many different forms. You have merges of black holes. You have black holes formed within stars as they're dying. And really trying to use the information from these gamma ray bursts is really just about trying to understand the structures around black holes, as in some cases they're forming or in other cases merging. And so this particular observation, which is of the brightest gamma ray burst we've ever seen, that doesn't necessarily mean it's the brightest object, could be a distant thing, but certainly the brightest that we've had recorded. It's very long duration. And so if it's very long duration, that's suggesting that we've got this black hole that's forming within a dying star. And as it does so, it sends this beam of intense radiation out that interacts with layers of the stars. But it's done so in a way that we really don't particularly understand. And so this particular new result is really going to help us to figure out what's going on in these stars or dying stars as the black holes are forming. And it's a really, really difficult piece of physics to understand.
No kidding, but fascinating nonetheless. The idea, too, that scientists studying this, I was reading just some stats on this. So it's 70 times brighter than any previously recorded event. It actually temporarily blinded some instruments that are used to kind of actually measure gamma rays as well. So this is kind of unprecedented in a sense of it just happened so fast and it's so much energy.
Yeah, and the other good thing about it is it allows us to get more information in multiple different wavelengths as well. And people might say, well, why do you need that? It's like if you tried to watch a game of football, just seeing the 50-yard line, and that's all you saw, you'd see things flicker backwards and forwards, and that would be it. You want to see the whole thing. So we want to see the whole electromagnetic spectrum, what's going on in these things. And so having a longer duration event allows us to see that. But the hard thing in all of this is something we call plasma physics, and understanding how this jet of energy interacts with the layers of the star. That's really, really complicated, and trying to go from the models that we have of that, theoretical models of that, to the observations is really quite difficult. And so the more observations we get, the better we can get at doing the modeling to understand what's going on.
And I can imagine this isn't going to be, you know, tomorrow we're going to get some data on this. This is likely going to take some time to kind of unravel.
Very much so. I mean, I always say it's a little bit like the investigation story on TV. Like you have one clue, another clue. You're piecing everything together piece by piece.
And kind of next story this week, talking about some plants apparently emit ultrasonic sounds in rapid bursts when they're stressed. This is according to a new study this week. So when they are about to die or in stress, apparently there is some kind of ultrasonic sound that's emitted.
Yeah, so ultrasonic sounds above the pitch that we can hear. So we're typically limited to around 20 kilohertz, and these pitches, or pops, were measured at around 40 to 80 kilohertz. You might think, well, we're not going to hear it, but things like mice, potentially insects like moths as well, they will hear this. And so it's really interesting that the plants do emit these pops even when they're not stressed, but they tend to emit them at sort of like one pop an hour, whereas when they're stressed, that can go up as high as 50 pops an hour. And so you're literally talking about one a minute. So you can imagine being in a greenhouse with a bunch of tomato plants. If you're a mouse, you go from hearing, like, I don't know, a few pops a minute to a pop, 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 right? And so people are saying, well, you know, maybe the animals and so on are actually going to be responding to this in one way or another, and which I thought was interesting. I will say that really I think what this potentially could be good for is actually detecting when the plants are stressed, right? So if you can properly correlate between the number of pops you're getting and the overall watering level that the plants need, then you could come up with systems where you could literally judge whether they needed water by having microphones in greenhouses, which I thought is a really interesting idea. But otherwise, the scientists are saying, you know, maybe this impacts animals, makes them react differently to the plants as well. So nonetheless, really interesting. We don't tend to think of plants as emitting sounds, but clearly they do.
Yeah, it almost in the sense of like a dog whistle on that aspect that only so many or species can kind of hear it. I guess it is one of the aspects that perhaps, you know, animals, they hear something like that, they know that there's a prime food supply that's kicking around somewhere.
Well, I mean, you're sure they're going to be aware of something potentially eatable being nearby anyway. Right. I mean, the scientists are pretty sort of like honest about this. They're saying we're not fully sure how the animals would use this, and even if they are hearing it, to be honest. But nonetheless, it's definitely there, and it's definitely being picked up by the microphones. And, you know, maybe with a little bit more research, they'll be able to do some studies on how animals react with plants that are stressed versus plants that aren't. That would be an interesting study to do right there.
Yeah, no kidding. And another one, last story this week, talking, it's moving to the realm of sports a little bit, but talking about padded helmets. We talk about football and the kind of impact that it has on the brain, particularly on young people. It's showing that, you know, some of these even helmets that they're wearing don't really have much protection.
Yeah, so this is an external cover. So this is like a padding on top of padding, as it were. It's called the Guardian Helmet. I'm sure there's a few listeners who are aware of what this is. And so this is a study of looking at whether that additional layer really does help. And so they've done it in a couple of ways. They've done the normal test is sort of like having a dummy with a helmet on, putting an accelerometer on that and seeing how things change as you have the padding on, don't have it on, change the angles and things like that. And they found there was a small impact with the dummy, about a 10 to 15% effect on some kinds of impacts. They said there was a few where things actually looked like they got a little bit worse with the padding on. But overall, they said there was a small help, but really not very much. And so this is also in the actual testing with humans, which is much more difficult. It's not as controlled. Then you can only look at sort of like a sample of events and things like that. From that, they're actually really quite skeptical of whether this particular additional layer is helping significantly. And my understanding is the key thing that concussion studies are focused on is the padding inside the helmet as opposed to padding outside the helmet. So in this case, they're pretty reticent to come out and really say this is a good piece of equipment to really reduce concussion risks. I mean, they were sort of like quite specific that this study was not about the sort of really hard impacts that really leave people injured, but the sort of growth of over time of this sort of impact of multiple lower grade impacts and looking at that. And that was really one of the things they're concerned about, this encephalopathy, as it's called, in the brain, that can be a problem for older footballers, is a really significant issue. And that builds up over time, sort of like attritionally, as you have more of these impacts. So really interesting that even though it looks very obvious, the researchers were really pretty hesitant to support the cap, and it's about $50, right? So they do note, though, that it provides some protection.
Yeah, and CTE, of course, coming to the forefront in NFL and other sports as well. And there have been more studies kind of looking at the more kind of subtle hits over time as well, but I guess when we're looking at something like this, does it kind of show as well just, you know, how fickle the brain is and how much we have to protect it, because it can take injury even with as much padding as we can put on it. It's just such a vital organ and different one.
Absolutely. And I mean, this is not just an issue in football. I mean, rugby, which is something I know quite well. I mean, they're literally changing the rugby tackling rules in lower divisions in the UK. And there's a lot of concern about this. But the reason was they found that the lower you tackle, the more the body is able to absorb the impact, the body will bend over and so on. And that reduces the overall acceleration on the brain. But it changes how people play the game. And so that's really caused a considerable debate in the UK. But the highest levels will still be able to function the way they normally do. But there is a really big issue with concussion in rugby players as well now, for sure.
Yeah, and in a number of sports. But that last story this week. Rob, thanks so much for joining us once again. Always great stuff.
Thanks a lot, Andy.
And that was Dr. Rob Thacker at St. Mary's University with our weekly look at what's happening in the science and tech world, the Science Wire, with Dr. Rob. You can hear each Saturday here on CFRA Live at 6:50 and 9:50. Also coming up tomorrow, Sunday, we'll be watching for an announcement as one Canadian astronaut expected to be on the next Artemis 1 mission. We'll follow that announcement tomorrow as well. Get some reaction on that. We'll take a quick break for the news. We'll be right back. This is CFRA Live.